Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What is your name? My name is Legion because we are many. That is, that guy was a commander. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's, therefore, he was known by the kind of function he performed. I think it was the response of Kenegin that explained that obviously what happened was that he was the only guy to actually possess the man. All right? What he did was to open the door and tell the other people, come in, come in. I have gotten one guy. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that is the way hatred is. Hatred opens the door and then it allows the spirit of murder to come in. I keep on emphasizing this, that he sees little things in life. He said, catch the little foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vine. That is, great damage is done by the little foxes. He said, a little spark kindles a great fire. Are you getting my point? A little leaven, Jesus said, leavens the whole lump. Little things. That's why Jesus taught the disciples to pray like this, and it's a very crucial prayer. Believe me. Pray this prayer all the time. He said, pray simply. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. Now, you know, that's actually what he was saying. I used to think that deliver us from evil coming upon us. That's not what he was saying. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from committing evil. It's an important prayer. Now, this one I'm going to explain here. You will see that the major problem here with Cain and Abel was a matter of hatred. Hatred which came out of envy and jealousy. Let me tell you, if God can settle you in your heart, in your current position, that is, you look at yourself and you are happy, not concerned about what is going on in the lives of other people, then you will definitely make it in life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? It is so important you understand that you are on a path. You are on a race that is set before you and set before you alone. You cannot, look, if Ben Johnson... Sorry for about Ben Johnson. What's the name of the... Who are the fast guys now? Somebody say Carlos. Especially you two must be retired. Anyway, all the if a sprinter, the guy who's doing 100 meters and 200 meters, if he takes off, all right? And then Gabriel Selassie is beside him. And, you know, in a short while, you see, let's assume Ben Johnson. In 5 seconds, Ben Johnson has covered like, in 5 seconds, the guy will have done like 40, maybe 30, 40 meters. He's picking up speed. All right? You think Gabriel Selassie should start feeling bad? Gabriel Selassie said, the guy is running 100 meters. I'm doing 10,000. Are you getting my point? 20,000 meters is what I'm doing. I'm doing a marathon. The guy that's racing is the one that knows where he's going. Where he's going does not concern me at all. But that's what Satan tries to do to people in life. Look at your friend. You started at the same time. Look at, he has already covered 50 meters. Meanwhile, you are still trying to get up. I just say, tell Satan simply, he's running 100 meters. All right? I'm running 10,000. He will win his medal. I will win my medal. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? All right. And then if God allows, because it's very important, because God sometimes, he told the children of Israel that I will stir you up to jealousy by a nation that does not know me. Sometimes God allows you to see, like I said earlier, by the events of life that what you are doing is not right. The most important thing for a Christian is to learn how to repent and to reorder his ways. Do you get my point? I'm explaining all of these things so that we'll understand that if you don't do these things, like some people say, sin lies at the door. I'm using the other interpretation now. What is happening is that greater sins are lying at the door. You follow me? The emphasis in the story of Cain and Abel that we are seeing here is that Cain slew his brother Abel because of hatred that came out of jealousy. Are you getting my point? Therefore, every Christian must guard against envy and jealousy, and of course, must guard against hatred. In fact, that you must consciously, the Bible says, love your brother. Let me give you practically. How does it mean to love? To try to help somebody else make progress, whether you are making it or not, is beside the point. Are you getting my point? That is a practical meaning of love. You know, I have seen, don't let me go into that side, because sometimes the kind of stories you hear, even preachers kind of spend this make, it can really, really annoy you. You know, this guy is not planning to go very far, you know. Someone said that, I found out that, look, somebody said that one pastor said that when we are going to build our church in this town, it will be finer than every other church. I said, that guy is walking in jealousy and envy. He doesn't realize it. Very soon, hatred will step in. You know, those little things, all right? You want to build your church, build your own church. It doesn't have to be funner than the guy next door. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? calculate, you need a 5,000-seater auditorium, build a 5,000-seater auditorium. The fact that Bishop Oyedepo built a 50,000-seater auditorium does not concern you at all. If Young Gicho is gathering 1 million people on Sundays, it's his personal issue. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The best that that should do, or let me say, the worst it should do to you is to stir you up to working harder. Are you getting my point? It's not to go and be competing with somebody that you don't need 50,000. Look, listen. If you decide to build an auditorium of 50,000 people, that doesn't mean 50,000 people will come. You understand my point? You build an auditorium of 50,000 people because you are expecting 50,000, not because somebody else built it. It's very important. Let's get back to our Genesis chapter 4. We are studying there. So he now said that, you are cursed from the ground. I'm trying to get somewhere. Yeah, after he now killed Abel, God now came that the man has shed the blood of Abel. Now, life is very important. The issues that control life, they are very crucial. Now, this is the point I'm trying to underscore here. Why was Cain going to have serious problems in life? Why were things going to turn around very wrongly for Cain? And the reason is simple. Because the blood of Abel was crying out from the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen. People have talked about, there's something I've quoted a number of times. I keep on forgetting who exactly said it, but one of the American presidents or one of their great statesmen of those days said they have found out that what actually decides the progress of a nation, all right, is not, these guys have been in office and they have understood that it's not just the right decisions we take, but that the ability to take the right decisions, all right, is controlled by something that is bigger than we in office. Are you getting me? Now, notice this. He said, the blood of Abel had been shed upon the earth and is crying out to God. And because of that, Cain was now cursed from the ground. You know, sometimes if you read history, because this one is very important. I told you something earlier when we were talking about last year, when we were talking about, I was talking about the necessity, the effect of sin and the necessity for cleansing. I explained that Isaac Newton said it like this. Every object continues in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line until, all right? Now, an external force is acting upon it, compels to do otherwise. Now, this is the way it is. If, by reason of tradition, they can say what they like. If in a place people have been shedding the blood of innocent people, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, there's something I wanted to say. I've not left that one. I'll get back to it. Now, let me quickly say it now so that in case I forget, at least I've said it. Now, when it comes to Christians, all right, Jesus said something here. He said that, I'll just say what I'm saying, all right? Please, this one is so crucial, I don't want to forget it. Jesus said that, I'm giving you a standard of righteousness above that of the Pharisees. So this is how it works. You have heard, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, but I tell you, if a man looks at the woman lustfully in his heart, he has already committed adultery. That's the standard of Jesus Christ. And not just the standard of Jesus Christ, that's actually divine truth, which Jesus was trying to bring people up to in levels, all right? Now, in the same manner, what he was saying is that if you hate somebody, God is saying in effect that you have already murdered him in your heart. That's what I'm trying to explain. Because one of the problems why some people will never make progress in life, all right, is because there is hatred, anger, all right, against people who are making progress. That is why I keep on saying this thing. You know, it sounds, someone will say it's like a joke. Don't ever join people together and say, don't mind these rich people, they are very wicked. You will never become rich. I know what I am saying. I'm warning you. You know, there are people, look, if you see, maybe you are going on the road now, you see a brand new E320 catch fire, they are happy. You understand? Like, hey, see, it's 20 million naira's burnt now. So, you don't know the man, but you're angry because, what I'm saying, when I learned these things, I was amazed that human beings can be like that. You don't know the guy from anywhere. It happens a lot with people. And just the fact that the guy is well-to-do, all right? The guy is just angry. He's rejoicing at the guy's misfortune. You know, I remember those days. I remember that incident a few weeks ago when we were in school. When we were in university those days, we had this eating area, Bucateria complex, all right, in Uniben. And then virtually every student went there to go and eat. And there were 12, in that complex, there were 12 bookers. There was one booker, booker two. The food was expensive. When you enter the place, they had nice lights. The place was done up really nicely. So only bourgeois guys, and babes used to go there to eat. Most people will never go there because it's a waste of your money. Where they will serve you one fat plate of rice and plantain and fish and all of that for those days for maybe 1 naira. Those guys, you will need to pay them like 2.50 naira kobo to get that equivalent amount. So why are you wasting your time? But of course, some people decide that that's where they will eat, either because they really have money and they believe the food is better, all right? Or of course, like, you know, young people who don't have sense, you generally is to show class. When you, as you are walking to the Buka, you move towards Buka 2. It was called, that this Buka 2 was a phenomenon in University of Benin when I was there. Buka 2. There was another Buka, I think it was Buka 8. That one was the masses Buka. I mean, you see the queue. The queue used to turn like an NPC queue. But that one, if they give you 50 naira food, 50 cup of food, you go chop and your head go explode. Now, there was a time there was student riots. Now, this is what I'm coming to. You know, uprising on campus, riots. And some boys, oh God, maybe the babes that they have been eyeing have been going to eat in Buka 2. And so they couldn't go there because, my friend, when you go there, you have to pay. If you don't have money, don't just bother. So crisis broke out. And then they decided, are you getting me? That is our time to vent our anger on Buka 2. What did Buka 2 do to you? Nothing. They are selling their food. You don't have money to buy it. You are eating. They have never come to your house to quarrel. They just created a class for themselves. They now go there, take their cups, break it, put, you know. If I remember one of my friends, Alex, he said he walked up to one of the boys and said, what you are doing? Alex was participating in the uprising, in the riot. When he saw what they were doing, he walked up and said, what you guys are doing is not good now. One turned and said, I go slap you now. So he let them jeje. Now, you know when people do things like that, they don't realize what is going on. They are shedding the blood of the innocent, and they will be cursed from the earth. Maybe, if you know, you see a car jam somebody, you know the way it is. 90% of the times, the Okada man is probably wrong because, you know, number one, he's not wearing a crash helmet. But once a car jams an Okada, you see the way the bike boys will just gather around, solidarity. The other day, they burnt a luxury bus down near prisons, between prison and UNT, that road. They burned the luxury. And you know when I drove past, I looked. I said, do you know as this bus was burning, some people's destinies were being condemned. Most of those boys will never do well, no matter how hard they try. You know, people don't understand spiritual things. What is happening is that you are shedding blood onto the earth. Do you get my point? And from the earth, the guy is cursed. You know what it means? Everywhere he steps, there's a problem. Every time he invests, there is a problem. You know, we don't understand things. Cain understood. Cain shouted, my punishment is too much for me. He knew that, look, life is now going to be extra. See, it was hard for my father, Adam. Adam was living in luxury compared to what Cain was about to start experiencing. I'm talking about Christians. That is this one of innocent inside people's hearts, all right? Envy against those who have not offended you is the reason why you will never in life make money. You will never. No, I'm telling. I'm giving you spiritual facts, spiritual truths. These things are so crucial that people will understand. Look, you know, it don't take when I don't say God will bless me. You know, I just realized it now. From time, I used to rejoice at people who I don't even know. You get what I'm saying? I remember doing this in Lagos. I was driving in my cousin's car, one old Kunkele Toyota Corolla like this, very old, 79 model, very strong. You know, the Axu could drag a whole house. But anytime I say I go slow, maybe somebody's beside me. I remember one particular day, one man was talking on his cell phone, driving one very nice car. I greeted him, "Good morning, sir." So the person I was with, you know, my cousin said, "Do you know him?" I said, "No." I said, "The man is obviously prosperous. I think we should greet him." The man waved as if, where do I know that young man from? In my mind, okay, you don't know me. I still remember I was Mobolaji Bank Anthony, you know, I come from Ikeja. I just saw the man, I just greeted him, "Good morning, sir." Like, "All correct, sir. It is well with you, sir." I wasn't a young boy. I wasn't envying or fly by night cocaine pushers or drug boys those days. No. This was a man who obviously had prospered. So I looked at him and greeted him. I remember another day like that, I still remember very, very well. There's a 280S coming. And he and I, because I took one wrong road, he just came nose to nose to my car like that. Like, "Where are you going?" Ha! I saw the majesty in front. I was driving a very nice car. The car I was driving that day was very, very nice. It was about a 3-4-year-old Nissan Bluebird. And I remember then in Lagos, I hardly used to see it. That, my cousin's, was one of the few I used to see. In fact, when she first bought it, it was everybody used to look at it. Very nice car, very, very nice. For his time, the car was lovely. But nose to nose like this, you saw one, my God, you know, stopped in front of me like, where did they go? I just put my motor for reverse, begin go back. After, at the point in time, I took that wrong turn because they hold up, and I wanted to just park in front of a pharmacy. We're going to buy some stuff. So I now went to the side of the road and turned off to park. So my cousin said, I beg, park quick, so the man will know it's not because of him we left the road. I said, it's not because of him. It's not because of him. I said, auntie, look at him. You don't think he's worthy to be left the road for? I said, yes, we know we are going somewhere, but let him think we left for him. He deserves it. Now, what am I trying to say? I don't know the guy. I don't know the man. The IDVC was inside. It was evening. It was quite late in the day. It was not night, really. But, you know, lights were beginning to come on. But I saw the thing. I said, this thing is fine. And therefore, you should respect it. According to Mike Murdock, whatever you don't respect, you don't attract. Now, this is very different from covetousness. Are you getting my point? I'm just talking about rejoicing in the progress of somebody else. I remember one day I went to see a friend of mine. And he was working in a nice company. They gave him a very nice car. He deal with those days. And I went to look for him in church. As the guy drove up, his car was white. Nice ride like this. The guy drove in, went to park. I followed him. And he came down from the car. Jesus was wearing a brown jacket, a brown suit. I had to hear, I said, oh boy, God. I still remember that day. If you see, my stomach was sweet, literally. It was as if they rubbed ointment inside my stomach. It was sweet. Just looking at this guy looking so nice and prosperous. It was my friend. So next time I traveled, I went to make a suit. I made a brown suit. So one day he saw me in a brown suit. He said, this your suit is nice. I said, you like it? He said, yes. I made it because of you. It's because of you. I made this suit. He didn't understand. I said, one day you drove to church and you're looking so fine and blessed that day and you came out of the car wearing a brown suit. I swore that I was going to get a brown suit. Now, I'm saying these things to teach us an attitude. That is the attitude that begets prosperity for you in life. You see, the things that move progress towards people or takes it away forcefully from them is not their own energy. What's God saying here? He said, you have killed Abel now. He said, because of that, you are cursed from the ground. And I am saying that, just like John explained to us, that he that hated his brother is a murderer. What he's saying, in effect, you know, I talked about generational connections before, that if you see a curse upon people, actually most of these things that God is actually, you see God say here, is not expressing them out of anger. He's expressing them out of a revelation of truth to the person. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Is it making sense to you? Let me explain what I'm saying. If you come to my house now, all right, and you drive out my car without my knowing, I can be angry with you, all right? But let us assume that car has been programmed to go off after 10 minutes, or let's say 30 minutes when it's being driven by a stranger, all right? You might drive away and say, you will not get to where you are going, though. You know I'm not angry with you. I just know that thing will stop you somewhere between Oji River and Oka, and you'll have to park and take a bus to get to Onitsha. I'm not angry. I have just said, he said, Chiki came here now, and he took your car away. He said, he won't get there. He said, why are you cursing him? I said, no, I'm not cursing him. That car will stop in 30 minutes. Just watch it. Then I'll hold my phone and be waiting. 30 minutes afterwards, I get a call. Pastor, this car just stopped. I knew it was going to stop. Nobody say they vex. It's if I send somebody to go and pursue and overtake you. That is vexing. In the same manner, a lot of things that God says, most of them are not, it's not vexing. He's just explaining. Say, King. Aye. Now, wow. Do you know your problem now? Say, what is this, sir? Your problem is that you are cursed from the earth. Why? Because the blood of your brother was spilled onto the earth, and that blood is crying out. Oh, sorry. I hope you are getting my point. Therefore, what God was saying today, what God is saying to all of us is that there are lessons to learn in all of these things. That is, if you see a principle like that, the fact that a man has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus does not mean that if he begins to do the works of Cain, he will not begin to partake of the judgment of Cain. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is, it's what he did before that the blood of Jesus cleanses away. And then he has a new spirit that should make him not do the works of Cain. That I got to the general of Israel. Say, look, I know you're my people. If you do as these people are doing, you will also be punished as they were punished. You are my people, Lord. I did not bring you in here because of your righteousness. I have took them out because of their wickedness, and I'm bringing you in according to the promise I made to your father. However, promise or no promise, if I come back and I see you are doing the same thing they did, I will also drive you out in exactly the same fashion as I drove them out. That's why it makes me like some people say that this Israel. Israel is repossessing their nation according to the timing of God. It doesn't matter whether they have it. I say, you have goofed. On that point, I think you have goofed. God has never restored them without faith and repentance and prayer. So if we don't see it, just say that because they are now gathered. I don't like going to that Israel issue because it annoys me. It shows a lot of ignorance on the part of Christians that the people of God is a lie. There's no people of God anywhere. Do you know where they are? Here, as we are talking now, everybody gathered about the name of Jesus is the people of God. Are you getting my point? Paul said it very clearly that he has removed the wall of division. You cannot reintroduce it. He has removed it. Anyway, my emphasis is the work of Cain. That I like the way my pastor said he does this in Lagos. That the work of that who are the descendants of Gehazi? When they said the leprosy of Naaman will not depart from you or your descendants forever. He said, who are the descendants of Gehazi? That the descendants of Gehazi are the people that do the works of Gehazi. What was the proof he gave us? Very, very sound. He said, who are the descendants of Abraham? Are they not those who are of the faith of Abraham? We said, it is true. He said, therefore, the descendants of Gehazi, they are not natural descendants. If you see spiritual descendants, you are the spiritual descendant of Abraham. Fine. In the same manner, anybody who lies to a man of God using the anointing of the man of God to collect money forcefully is a descendant of Gehazi. And the leprosy of Naaman shall stick to his face. You want to know what the leprosy of Naaman is? We discussed that one on radio. I think it was it last year? I discussed on radio about the leprosy of Naaman. All right, but let's just leave that one. So I'm explaining that if you want to make, there's a divine principle here that anyone who wants to make progress in life must be careful that he does not have hatred in his heart, especially towards those who are making progress. Do you get my point? That is why you must learn to rejoice when people are succeeding. It's so important. You must learn. You know, there are people who are only happy when other people are not doing well. You know, maybe it gives them the feeling that they are not bad or something. You know, when everybody is failing, the guy feels happy. They too, they are not getting promoted. I'm not getting promoted. Good. But once they promote other people and they don't promote him, anger towards those who are promoted. Let me tell you the Christian way to handle it. If other people are promoted, rejoice. Spend 30 minutes singing. Even if you don't feel like it, you can make your body feel like it. Start singing and rejoicing. Father, I thank you because Emeka has been promoted. Oh, Father, I thank you. Such a nice, you know, he's so hardworking. It's quite an encouragement as he came to this office. You don't feel like it, you're just trying to tell your body. I hope you are getting my point. Because if you don't do that, next business you put your money in, it will catch fire. Do you follow the point I'm making? All right. Now, let me just quickly round off. I didn't want to speak for too long, and I definitely won't take us beyond 6:30 today, and it's almost 6:30. Let me just continue. So, now, another thing I want to say just quickly is the fact that, it's still part of what I'm saying anyway, that here he talked about the fact that the blood of Abel is speaking. He said, the blood of Abel was crying, your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. If you read from the book of Hebrews, he explained that there's a blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. That is, every blood that is shed. Yeah, there was something I was saying earlier. I was saying that I now digress. Let me just quickly complete that. That sometimes the problems that people have in a nation, all right, the problems. Yeah, that's why I said, let me quickly say this one. You guys have forgotten that I even said that. Let me not get back to what I was saying. I just needed to say this one because it was more important. That you see, a nation like maybe a lot of African nations, let me tell you this. Have you ever wondered to yourself, well, most of the economic problems on this earth is in African countries. Even if they are not African, they are black. But they are still African that move somewhere. You know, Haiti. Haiti is currently the world's poorest nation. You know Haiti? They are the world's poorest nation. They have tried all kinds of things. They said it was Papa Doc and Baby Doc. What's their proper name that now? They are present that time. Duvalier or something like that, yes. Sitting at them. They drove those ones away. Other people came. Things got worse. Then there was a time they elected Jean-Bertrand Aristide. Ah, that one tried. Then some other, the two soldiers and one policeman planned coup. Threw him away. Bill Clinton came. I still remember watching the broadcast live. The time is up for them to leave. They left. Jean-Bertrand Aristide, who happened to be a reverend father, was 10 times more wicked than the coup plotters that they drove away from him. And then one day, some guerrillas got up and drove him away from us. I don't know whether they killed him or something. I don't know. I just looked at the country and said, poor Haiti. Why are they like this? The worst demons on earth live there. That is the reason. There's no story about it. That is a land of voodoos and zombieism. A Haiti witch doctor can make the dead get up physically and walk. That's what they used to use zombies for. You've heard of zombies. Zombie, no be joko. They don't like a man, they kill him and then turn his body to a zombie. And the zombie will get up in the morning and go to the farm to walk. Zombies don't get tired, they don't sleep. All those things that they did, it crystallizes into economic problems. No matter how they try, this suffering will not go away until the power of the blood of Jesus erases their past. I know what I'm saying. I'll use them as an example. But you know, an interesting part, in all the nations of the earth also is like that. I've explained before that it appears that there is a balance of forces. And you see, take our country, a lot of African countries like that as an example. You know, we used to do things that God would just look. You may say it's our traditions. Some of those traditions are the reason why the descendants of those people have not progressed. The Bible said that I'm a jealous God, I bear the iniquities of the fathers upon the son down to the third generation. Now, that thing, again, like I said, is just a spiritual statement of fact. God was saying, in effect, that when they set something in motion, the thing keeps rolling for a long time. In our culture, anytime our kings die, they bury 10 people with him, 10 innocent people. That is why the kingdom didn't last. 10 innocent people. What kind of king guy is it? Is he greater than the kings of Israel? That they used to bury with his fathers. You know, that's how they used to bury the kings of Israel. They go and bury with his fathers. That is those who died before him. They never used to bury those who are alive with them. They come to Africa and say, so that somebody will carry his load when he's going down to hell, I suppose. And then their tribes will still feel very powerful. That yes, one day when this our neighboring village offended us, we went there at night and killed everybody. I say, no wonder, no professor or minister has ever come from your village. You don't know that is the reason. No big businessman has come from there. No important person has come from there. I'm not explaining something. That all these bloods of innocent people shed in the name of tradition. That's why that time when there was crisis in the north and they were killing houses in Onitsha, I felt very bad. I said, these people are inviting armed robbers back. They don't know. You know, the things that Bakassi boys drove away. You want to know how they will come back? Go and kill an innocent Hausa man beside you because somebody is rioting in the north. There's no justification. That man is dwelling beside you with innocence. He's a traitor. He has not killed anybody. Are you getting my point? You cannot kill him because somebody who's probably not related to him at all right, is killing somebody who's related to you somewhere. You kill him, no wahala. You've shed his blood. The earth is there, and that blood is crying for vengeance. That is the power that goes out to strengthen the armed robbers, strengthen the thieves, strengthen the oppressors. The people will now come tomorrow and say, why come there's so much violence in our land? They say, God, say, look at you. The day you were inviting this violent spirit by killing those who did not do anything to you, where were you then? You'd forgotten. Listen to me. I believe now you're understanding the power of the blood of Jesus. No big joke. The amount of work Jesus has to do on this earth. Now I'm sure you are respecting him some more now. I mean, you have to cleanse all that trouble they caused in Onitsha. He has to be cleansed. And in Aba, it has to be cleansed. It has to be cleansed. And he cleansed a very interesting man. Look, I don't have time to explain this. God, go and read the scriptures. You will see God will just tell Saul. Go there, kill everybody. Child, adult, man, woman, anything that moves. Animals, kill. It's not out of wickedness. It's out of, you know the way you it's quarantine. You want to quarantine them and destroy all the infective spirits that is inside that place. Because if they spread to the rest of the earth, God knew what will happen. God knew it was very risky. So you just say, look, when you get there, don't take anybody hostage. Because, have you not watched horror movie before? You know, usually, the spirit is never defeated. You've watched horror movies. It's last minute, one small thread will drop, and that's where the spirit will run from. So that's why God used to give such commandments. Those are real. So when you get there, anything you see that moves, kill. That the evil inside those people, that is where they are going to fall to follow to go out to. And I don't want that to happen. See what Jesus is cleansing? All those wickedness that people have done, why their economies will never make progress. I said that, look, the blood of Jesus works in a very interesting manner. Look, people like me, preachers, they will go shout, repent. Those who want to be saved had better repent. Are you getting my point? Those ones are cleansed by the death of Jesus Christ. Those who don't repent, God has to cleanse them the Amalekite way. Whichever way, you have to be cleansed. Either you repent and God takes hyssop, dips in the blood of Jesus and cleanses your heart and your environment, your land, your clothes, your chair, the roof over your head. Or you say, no, I will not repent. God says, fine. Give him the Amalekite treatment. Whichever way, that evil in you must go if the nation will progress. So it's like choose. Sin lies at the door. Master it, sacrifice, and change. Or, you know what I mean? Amalekite treatment. You know something by Amalekite treatment? God can be. No, if you see the operations of God in the scriptures, he appears sometimes to be very ruthless. You know what I mean by ruthless? Really ruthless. It's now I'm understanding why. It's not his fault. Get my point. It's a commandment. It says, your eye must not show mercy. And what does he say? Kill. When they brought Midianite women, is it Midianite or Moabite women? Which one? The ones that Balaam stimulated by them to from, eh? Moabites, okay. You know, God looked and was it Phineas that took a spear? And God rewarded him to do something very violent. God knew what he was dealing with. He would tell everybody, yeah, take your sword, guard your sword upon thy thighs. Oh, yeah, moving, you mustn't show mercy. Even if it's your cousin, if it's your brother, just close your eyes as you stab him to death. Man, it's vicious. But you know the reason? God knew what he was dealing with. If you don't tackle this spirit now, they pour it upon the earth, then the people are cursed everywhere they go. There are people at the, you think it's just normal that Nigerians can't help but be corrupt. It's not normal. It's a spiritual force. That's why you have to preach the gospel. Then one day you will see when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. But before then, let me put this on off record. Let me just stop my message here. Let me end it here. But let me put this on off record. Tunde Bakare said something that...